here. This. Do you think that?
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this show is dedicated to exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. The series explores ideas about how much we can become conscious of our everyday life. And we invite viewers, listeners, and people on the radio and television to contribute their input into our evolving culture. This is Alan Steinfeld and New Realities, New Realities Radio, which is a takeoff of New Realities Television, which is on every Monday nights in Manhattan at 9 p.m. That's a song called Green Fire that you are hearing, and they're out of Newport, Oregon. But tonight we have some amazing guests that are going to reorientate ourselves and listeners to sexuality in a new form. Before I get to the guests, I would just like to make a few announcements that coming to New York, Lynn McTaggart, who wrote the book The Intention Experiment, will be actually doing an intention experiment in New York on April 21st. An intention experiment is using group energies to change the environment, and you can read her book, The Intention Experiment, about that, and we're going to be gathering with Lynn in New York at 243 West 30th Street for a group experiment about changing consciousness. Another big event that I'll be hosting will be a dialogue between Alex Gray and J.J. Hertog about the science and art of the light body, and that'll be at the Cosms Gallery in Chelsea, which is 540 West 27th Street on the fourth floor. And if you want more information about that talk, you can call 212-473-6388, and that'll be April 19th at 8 p.m. at 540 West 27th Street. So, let's green fire again. I just thought I'd give you a little fire to prep people for this upcoming discussion, and who's going to be on the program tonight. It's going to be way beyond, if you listened to the last program, the Akashic Records. This is really about grounding our sensual experience into the earth plane. One guest will be Nicole Dadon. She is the founder of One Taste, and she was just in New York giving a workshop. And One Taste is a sexual commune out of San Francisco. And let me give you a little background about Nicole Dadon. She combines her intellect and personal research into sexuality and her charisma, compassion, and clarity of mind, making her a communicator that accentuates the most essential parts of our human incarnate experience. She grounds us in our bodily sensations. And she'll be talking more about that and the understanding of the limbic system. To sort of contrast that and try and contrast Nicole's point of view and to give us a different perspective on sexuality is Charles Muir, who started what is formerly known, I say, as Western Tantra, the art of conscious loving. Of course, Tantra's been around for a lot longer. But Tantra is the ability to have the art of conscious loving, as Charles Muir calls it. And Charles Muir will be in New York May 4th, 5th, and 6th. And if you have any questions about Charles Muir and his course in New York, you can call, let me just get you that number because it'll be a very exciting number. You can call 212-777-0794. So, Charles and Nicole will be the guests and will be taking people to another level of sexuality, a sexual experience, one coming from a tantric tradition, which is Charles Muir, and Nicole Dadon is coming from an eclectic position of exploring many different fields and opening up the whole area of sensuality and sensation and experiencing sexuality, I think, in a very unique and original way. So just wondering, are they on the line yet? They'll be coming on in a few minutes, about 1 minute. My name is Alan Steinfeld. This is New Realities, New Realities Radio. And if you have any questions, just call me at, or just email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And you can always look at my website, newrealities.tv. If you have any questions about the guests for tonight, Charles Muir can be reached, or his people can be reached at sourcetantra.com, 212-777-0794. We have some guests on. Hello,
Alan.
Charles.
Hello, Alan.
Do you hear me well?
Yes.
Clear as a bell.
And is Nicole on?
I'm here, Alan.
Great. Wow, we're all here. And I was just giving a little background. So let me just what I know, and you can both correct me, I would say that Charles Muir began something called the G-spot massage, and that came out of your tantric experience. And just want to, and have you, and Nicole does something called the clitoral stroke, and
orgasmic,
which
is,
stimulates the sensation in the body so people can feel their bodies a little more. Both of you people are coming from the art, I would say, of conscious experience, but we're just going to try to mix it up and see if there's a match or someplace we can all meet. Now, Charles, you want to just give a little background for me and Nicole to see where you're coming from?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say I didn't invent the G-spot massage.
Oh, okay, great.
But I teach a ritual called sacred spot massage from an ancient tantric practice called Nyasa, which is the awakening of the sexual center through touch and energy technique. It's a pleasurable journey.
Uh-huh. And what the purpose of that is, for what reason?
Well, to bring wholeness to that part of a woman's psyche and to awaken it from its sleep or its trauma as she's come into her womanhood. So we teach men how to be a sexual healer, how to address it where the job isn't to get it off, but rather to bring more wholeness, more aliveness.
And... yeah, go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's the primary focus. Orgasms, multiple wave after wave of vaginal orgasm, is a byproduct of this process. It is a process of awakening a chakra and energy center.
A what energy center? A chakra energy center?
A chakra or energy center.
Okay, I know.
A center of consciousness and energy that's a part of our psyche. In the Eastern tantric tradition, there are 7 of these centers, starting with our brain and going down through our sexual center and the base of our spine.
Okay. Now, let me just ask Nicole. You got that, Nicole, right? Now, how does that differ or is similar to the practice of the clitoral stroke that you're talking about?
I think the best way I would describe it, I mean, I think there are a lot of similarities in terms of what we do. I mean, we're operating in the same basic territory. Our focus is in the upper left-hand quadrant of the clitoris in the front. Uh-huh. And the focus of our practice has to do with experiencing the genitals at the level of sensation. So underneath all story and beginning to focus on the stroke, a tiny stroke, tiny, tiny, up, down, up, down, up, down, very much in the way that you do with breathing meditation and seeing where that takes you and following, remaining connected to the sensation wherever it goes.
So it is about healing as well, though.
Well, we look at things on multiple levels of abstraction. We start our reference point, the most basic point of the practice, at where we sort of start and where we return to, is the level of sensation. And then healing can be a byproduct of that, or a spiritual experience can be, or what's called a spiritual experience can be a byproduct of that, or getting closer to your lover can be, but it's a goalless practice in that way.
Beautiful.
So the goal of practice is sensation, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people talk about connection, and for me, it's a way to begin to practice the mechanics of connection. When the sensation goes extremely high, can I stay connected and maintain consciousness? When it goes into down, guttural, earthy places, can I stay connected and remain conscious? And in between, in the mundane bread and butter strokes, and then can I translate that out to my daily life?
So Charles, how does that differ than Tantra, from Tantra, from what you teach as Tantra?
It sounds like really good instructions for polishing what we call the pearl, the clitoris, which is an important part of a woman's psyche and sexual center and sexual response. And we tend to teach being very yin and putting very yin energy through that center. And a lot of men just don't know what yin or gentle, soft, slow, tantalizing strokes are. But we find to get right into the psyche, you want to go to, it's sort of the energetic opposite pole of the clitoris. It may be the same organ, but it's found inside, an area that's popularly called the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's an area of pretty conscious tissue with an energetic access point. And as it's stimulated, it starts to come alive, and oftentimes issues from a woman's psyche might come up during this massage. So we really teach the men not to be orgasm-oriented, but rather to be present and to be in service to his woman. I'll put this loving, conscious energy in with a bunch of techniques. We teach about 8 different strokes on that area.
Uh-huh.
They taught about the G-spot, but they didn't really teach about what to do with it. That's why it never really has been gotten as popular as the clitoris.
Go ahead.
Both a wonderful thing.
Well, is there a different? Is it just that we're just talking about different parts of the anatomy, or is there an energetic difference? I mean, I'm sure there must be between these two different areas.
They can both go off together for a really electrifying orgasm. In Tantra, you know, because we're working on a level of energy, it actually allows the energy to go out of the genitals to other areas of the body and become a more full body, much more powerful orgasm.
Right. And Nicole, you're not really talking about orgasm in that traditional sense, are you?
Right. And so I'm going to say my feelings on the first question. And that's I agree with Charles. I think that the G-spot and the clitoris ultimately lead to the same location. I think most parts of the body do. And I agree that the journey there is different, depending on which part, you know, if you're stroking the G-spot or the clitoris. The journey itself is different. I know that one is a deeper, more, for me, more associated with in love, you know, the G-spot sensation. And then the clitoris, the front of the clitoris, I guess what you would call the pearl, tends to be more raw electric sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right.
And then you were saying about definition of orgasm. Our definition of orgasm is the moment that the involuntary musculature is activated. So oftentimes people refer to orgasm as the moment of expulsion. We look at it as the moment when you hear that bell ring in your body that says, I'm going to go over the edge. Usually there's a few strokes in between that moment and the moment of release. And that's the field that we play in. It's the field of the most sensations.
Mm-hmm.
So that is similar to where you're going, Charles, but you seem like you're directing that energy a little more with some other techniques on top of that. Is that true?
Yes. There's physical technique, massage, and energy technique called mudra in Tantra, which are energetic holds that cause the energy to move into areas it doesn't usually move into, and connect on the level of the power center, the heart center. It tends to get very vocal and open one's mind and actually awaken consciousness. I think we're not having a debate so much. Let's just say they're both of these places. How shall we address them? And what
the conscious
is to do it with love and consciousness and focus, and to hold it precious, because the vulva is a direct connection to the goddess and the second chakra of the woman. And the energy that's released there really brings out the shaman and the healer and the high priestess in the woman. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, let's wake up, women.
And I think you are too, Nicole, but somehow you have stopped any technique at pure sensation. Now, why do you do that as opposed to what Charles is doing?
You know, I think for me, I had a difficult time connecting in at the level of pure sensation and knowing myself at that level. And, you know, that's really what begins to inform everything that I do. And so it's a matter of learning to ride life at the level of those waves. And then whatever sort of ideas and stories that I want to put on top of that, I can find a deeper meaning in them. And, you know, Charles, you were saying how you view treating the area as precious. And we would be a lot more zen and say something like, live at the level of pure, clean connection.
Beautiful.
And so they're just, it's interesting. It's almost like we're having an argument, not an argument, but of love and light. You know, that's what we're aiming for, is the pure, true sensation. And then, Charles, it sounds to me like you're having this, you have an expression that includes these beautiful sort of waves of love and caring and transmission of awakening.
Right.
Indeed.
Well, both are valid, and both are necessary in a society that are becoming more conscious of sexuality. And I think both of you represent sort of poles in this new axis of conscious being. You know, you both dedicated your life to this study.
Mm-hmm.
And but what I also want to talk about is the aspect of the trauma. I mean, Charles, when you're saying you're doing the sacred spot massage, you're helping women release their trauma that has been held down sexually. And I think, Nicole, you are doing something similar with the clitoral stroking, right? I mean, go ahead, Charles. Why don't you talk about your part in that first?
Well, you know, let's say that these are two energetic poles, like a north and south pole of the same energy field,
yeah,
which is what a chakra is. In that chakra is all of the psyche having to do with that woman's past. All of the conditioning, all of the shame and guilt and fear that often goes into a girl's consciousness in that chakra. So often when it's being pleasured on this deeper level, it brings up things from the subconscious. It may, things that are holding this woman back for more energy, more love, more pleasure. And that might be a layer of guilt and shame that was from her childhood. The past does influence a woman's ability to live in that second chakra, in that sexual center, with joy, with freedom, with consciousness, with a sense of goodness.
So by doing this
massage, and I still do, and it's great.
You still do what? I miss that.
I'm a nice girl, and I do. Nice girls do it. Nice girls can be powerful and awake and alive in that center. It's part of their God essence that their creator put in there. Women are powerful sexually, and they need to wake up.
Right. And I mean, that's exactly what you say, Nicole, as well, but it's just a different polarity, right? I mean,
mm-hmm. I would say that rather than calling it shame or guilt, I would look at it more in the realm of static energy.
Mm-hmm.
And examine it more from a value-neutral place, simply in that for me, when I label the experience, it affects the experience itself. And it may not actually work out to be shame or guilt. It might be hidden desire. You know, deep within taboos for me is desire. And it, when I look at it a value-neutral way, it gives more room for expression. So I have the same experience when I'm, for example, having my clitoris stroked. There are times when just unbearable sobbing will come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually what I do is I look at it more from the perspective of, I had a concentration of energy that's breaking up.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We're just labeling the same thing. It's
Right.
No, I don't think there's a disagreement. Because both your work is about making sexuality more conscious in our culture. I mean,
exactly.
This is where we're all going together.
Right.
I think you're both pioneers, and you know, haven't been afraid of ridicule for believing so strongly in.
No, I'm not afraid of it. I just didn't want to withstand it.
You can't stand it?
I said I've been afraid of it. I've just been willing to withstand it.
Withstand the ridicule and the assault. I mean. But where are we going as a culture? I mean, you both have these great practices, and it is freeing. So where can we go together, all of us? I mean, Charles, where do you see as a way of conscious loving moving forward?
Well, I think individuals and couples will realize that it's an art form, this practice of giving and receiving love and energy and pleasure. And that we, as a culture, maybe we'll just start embracing it with enthusiasm. Mm. I want to be the best I can in that. I want to learn skills and ways of moving sexual energy that make sexual sharing affect us on every level of our being, our body, our emotions, our mind elevated, our energy open, and even to a spiritual level, because it's time to realize God created sex and men and women have screwed it up.
I mean, are you aware of what Nicole does, that she lives in a sexual community of 50 people, and every morning at 7 they do what they call an orgasmic meditation? Why don't you tell them about that, Nicole?
Okay, so every morning we do a group orgasmic meditation at the center, and we do it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we do it again at 6 o'clock in the evening. And we live.
Well, explain what that is, the orgasmic meditation.
So what it is the person who's going to be stroked will lie down, and we'll say it's a woman, and the stroker, we'll say that's a man, will put his thumb at her introitus, draw his finger up through her labia, take the most sensitive spot on his finger, which would be the spot if you got a paper cut, you'd want to rub your thumb across it, and connect to this spot on the upper left-hand quadrant. And simply there, stroke up, down, up, down, up, down. And we look at it like it's two people plugging in to one orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you do that 3 times a day, you're saying?
Well, we do it in group practice 3 times a day, but people who are urban monks usually have 5 sessions a day.
And how long do the sessions last?
15 minutes. And we talk before, during, and after.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a really lovely way to stay connected.
You might want to visit their place in San Francisco, Charles.
Yeah, I want to meet these guys.
I'd love to have you.
We may have a market overlap and be able to help each other.
It'd be wonderful. I'd love it. We'll have you come speak. I'd love that.
I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where are you now, Charles? Are you in the Bay Area?
I'm south of the Bay near Santa Cruz.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. We have our center here, and I've just moved from 22 years in Maui.
Oh, yeah. I remember you lived in Waylo. I was out near you when you were out there.
Yeah.
You just got tired of the beautiful life.
I have a 96-year-old mom who I just spent Easter with, and she needs a little more of her son, and I need to just step up. And I used to live in this area and have continued to teach in this area. I left here in 87, and I've continued to teach twice a year, so I have a big student body here.
Well, I'll give you Nicole's information after we get off, but the thing about Nicole's practice, I think, and the thing at the One Taste, is that it's not goal-oriented, and it seems like the somewhat of Tantra can be. Is that true?
No, I tell the men that have no goal other than to put the energy and the love in. It's quite a meditation. They hold eye contact much of the time. They do tantric breathing technique, which really amps up the energy. The energy of orgasm really moves with the breath, and a certain change in the breath can cause the waves to be much, much, much bigger waves.
Mm-hmm. Will that throw up your whole thing, Nicole, if we did that? Would just throw off what you're trying to do?
Did you say would it throw off what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, if he kind of gets the breathing going, it's a different thing. I mean, it goes back to the old other discussion we were having. But I mean, if you added that to your just stroking technique, would that be different?
I don't know. So I have two answers. The first answer is, One Taste itself, the center, was started as an open source location to draw in as many teachers and as many lineages and as many ideas and disciplines as possible, and to be willing to be changed to find the best way for anybody or for the community. Does that make sense?
Wow.
And so we have Connect Ed, and with that we have different lecturers who come in and have unalterably shifted our practice. It shifts pretty regularly, and we often try new things. We had someone come in and show us prostate massage, and that became part of the morning OM that we experimented with. Coming to what we're interested in is the field of pure sensation.
Wow. What is the age group range in your group of practitioners?
I think it's our youngest woman is 20, and I think it's 20 to 61 right now.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. 61. So isn't that ideal for the work you're doing, Charles? I mean, a whole community of 50 people in sexual, energetic understanding.
Well, you know, if two of them came to one of my weekend seminars, they would learn the sacred spot ritual enough to bring it back. But I would love to hang out and give you guys a class and just bathe in the energy of 60 people doing the practice at the same time.
Or you could just I think that's great.
That's what this show's about, hooking things up and bringing it all to another level. I mean, where can we go as sexual beings? I mean, first bringing it back into the real world, I guess, that's like, I mean, there's so much. I mean, this conversation cannot happen on ABC television yet.
Thank God for ABC.
Right.
You know, you asked where sexuality is going. I think we're really hitting a post-New Age time. And very much like with the slow food movement, we're coming back to some core practices. We expanded our consciousness out. You know, we had the Human Potential Movement and EST and all of these really incredible practices that pushed us way, way out. And I think we're coming back in and really refining those practices. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm seeing so many teachers of sensuality who had been off doing their own thing while we're all coming back together and looking at what works.
There you go.
And I think that we're doing that in a way to gain concentration, because I think that sexuality and sensuality and orgasm are all going to come into the public sphere in the same way first meditation did, then yoga. And I think orgasm is going to be the third leg on that stool that gives it balance or sexuality.
Well, that's your mission. I mean, that's what you said the other night. And that is a huge mission, too. I mean, you can see meditation, yoga are basically harmless in the sense it doesn't threaten anyone's understanding of themselves. But sexuality, I mean, you have the 2,000 years of the Catholic Church, and, you know.
When yoga was introduced, it was seen as a practice for loose ladies. And when the Zen Center came to San Francisco, they called it a cult. So these ideas, you know, are first very foreign, but within our lifetime get integrated in. I think within our lifetime, sexuality, sensuality, and orgasm will be integrated into the public sphere. It can't not. It's natural.
What do you think, Charles? I know you've been working in this area and been doing that work to make it mainstream.
Well, I deal with the mainstream. You know, I'm teaching this now 30 years. And I speak about what I teach with great confidence and conviction because I've watched it work. And we keep people very safe. We teach them, and then they go off in the privacy of their own room to practice. But when 100 people are doing approximately the same thing at approximately the same time, there's great magic in that ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the power of the ritual that these guys are having. I'd just like to teach them a couple of things about sexual energy.
I mean,
that's creative energy. When 50 people have a group intention and release the energy with a group intention, that's real magic there. 50 minds with 50 creative energies united in oneness, that's exciting to me.
It is, but would that go against your doctrine of having an outcome, Nicole? I'm just curious. I mean,
of having an outcome?
Well, you know, holding an intention in the oming, in the orgasmic meditation, would, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's different than what you've been saying, but of course you said you're changing.
You can always go back to the way you did things, mm-hmm. and this would be, well, here's another experience. Let's give it a try.
Right.
And, you know, if I get really straight people at my seminars, and they have miraculous experiences.
We're open source. I mean, we're unquestionably interested in being shifted. And, you know, one of the things that I have always said is that if something proves to be better than what I'm doing, I'm more than happy to change. That's what makes the whole experience fun.
What works. I'm waiting for my girlfriend to wake up from a nap, and I'm going to be on that left quadrant, baby.
You got a convert. But the other key thing, I think, in your newly formed tradition, Nicole, is that you separate love from sex. I mean, you're saying one thing doesn't have to do with the other necessarily. Of course it can, but so tell Charles about that a little, because it's different from where he's coming from, I think.
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay,
there's the emotion of love, and there's the energy of love.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The energy of love you can share with anyone, and it doesn't cause anybody problems. That's what we try to harness.
Right.
What do you mean by that, the energy of love?
It's impersonal. It has nothing to do with the ego. It has to do with one's energy that is generated from one's heart chakra. And it can be put out. It's the mind can control that energy and help direct it. And in our loving, we can be better transmitters and better receiving stations.
Right.
That's what you were saying today, Nicole, weren't you?
I was saying we can be better transceivers. Exactly.
Transmitting and receiving at the same time, which I really love.
Oh, I can't wait to have dinner with you.
I'd love it. I think what you're calling love, we're calling connection. And one of the things that I'm interested in doing is decoupling romantic love and orgasm. And all of the things that entails, because what ends up happening is we have this big knot, you know, almost like the Gordian knot, and we have this big knot, and nothing actually gets fed. And so if we kind of pull the different threads out and lay them out, then we can begin to piece by piece by piece deliberately nurture and feed each part of ourselves, and then deliberately choose what we want to put back together and how.
That's very brilliant.
Does that make sense to you there, Charles?
Absolutely. It's very brilliant.
So then, I mean, does Tantra then transform in some way? I mean, your Tantra is a tradition, but as you brought it into the West, you modified it to a Western sensibility. What's that?
I said I have done that and successfully translated it. I get engineers and really straight people who are not open to the concept of the chakras or the philosophy of the energy body. But by Sunday, from a Friday night start at a seminar, by Sunday they've actually felt their energy. They've felt energy rushing. They've felt the energy that usually is kind of a sneeze in the groin fill up their whole body and lift the top of their head off, and they're going like, oh my God, I was shaking my... And it's energy. there's nothing like opening up a person's belief system by saying, here, have an experience. Mm-hmm. So we don't teach a lot of the philosophy of the energy body. We say, hey, you got one, pay attention. You might just feel it. And what would it be like if an orgasm could really go inward and upward and affect all of the other chakras, the other centers of your being, your ability to love, your ability to communicate, the way you use your mind and your connection with the spirit? That's powerful energy down there. That can cause life.
So just talk a little bit, and get into Nicole's version of that, of freeing up the communication, because I think that seems key in both these different or the similar approaches. What frees the communication?
Well, you know, when I would consider the connection, the most important thing is not the words, but sounds, breathing and sounding. Sounds can help amplify the energy dramatically and make the orgasm much more powerful. If you catch an orgasmic wave on an inhalation, for as long as you breathe deeply, and we teach the breathing part of that, the orgasmic wave will go up much beyond 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, but, oh my God, this is the biggest experience of an orgasm to date. And it's a timeless experience. It happens in dream time. Like in a dream, you can have this big, long story. In a 30, 40-second orgasm, it can be a transcendent experience.
For both men and women?
Yeah, of course for men.
Right.
We haven't talked about
that.
Okay,
I know women, seem more open, available to pleasure. I mean, they have that, but we also had that discussion too with Nicole. But Nicole, tell them about your idea of a communication, because I just was with Nicole all day and she was talking about this level of communication that takes place also on other levels of sensuality, right?
So what we look at is a communication that's actually a similar model to our orgasmic model. And that's that, first of all, both people are plugging into one sensation and then communicating from there. Also, this idea of people being transceivers, having permeability, so whatever's on the inside, being on the outside without any adornment.
Mm-hmm.
And to communicate purely exactly what I'm feeling. And so often, in my communication had been, growing up and such, I had been told to be a good girl, and I had been told to communicate in ways that didn't show any of my anger or upset or sadness,
mm-hmm.
and kind of sterilized.
Yes.
And so what we talk about is whatever you're feeling, say it exactly as you're feeling it, and the cleanness of that communication will be what has it received. And so we communicate unequivocally what you are and who you are, and that gives everyone around you permission to do the same.
Beautiful.
Right. And the techniques, if they were to happen, they would happen on after that cleanness of direct contact between the two people. Would you say that?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, and then Charles, and how what do you think then about that initial direct contact? I mean, I'm sure you have similar ways of approaching that genuine, authentic being. How do you approach it?
Well, we teach the receivers, who's ever in the receiving position, let's say the women are receiving the sacred spot massage, we teach the men to be totally there for the women, and especially be there for any feelings that come up. Because men will often, instead of being there for the feelings, they'll often try to convince the woman she shouldn't feel that way, or they'll feel blame, the guys will, and they'll start defending themselves. And none of that helps the woman if a lot of feelings are coming up. I'll give you one example that happened this last weekend when we taught at Esalen Institute in California. The woman was receiving, and she said, and this was after about an hour of having a beautiful, close, powerful, orgasmic experience, she said to the guy, "Get your hand out of me. You're using me. You're using me. You're not even present for me. You're using me." And, of course, she was really saying that to her brother who had molested her. And it was locked in her subconscious. And the guy, instead of saying, "I'm not using you, I'm just doing what we learned," he said, "Yes, I hear you're feeling used now. And you want me to stop, and that I'm not present for you." And then he had her open her eyes, and in that moment, she was connected to the trauma of the past, and she was able to take in the energy he was putting in, and his caring, loving eyes, all because he learned, hey, her feelings are real, even if to you they're not. You have to meet her there, and it's your job to, you know, you're kind of banishing the ghosts of other people that have consecrated her vagina, who have desecrated it, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you say that in the clitoral stroking that those issues will come up as well, Nicole, right?
Oh, unquestionably. And, you know, what I think we're talking about is static energy that's locked in the system. And when you increase any form of prana, that'll activate any static energy. And as it begins to burn out, whatever is locked in there will begin to rise up again. Joy will be one of those things, too. There
yes.
are lots of different sensations that begin to burn through the system when you activate any kind of orgasmic practice.
But, you know, what it comes down to is that we are living in a culture that's so out of balance, that has been so distorted and conditioned into a false understanding of sexuality that both of you have, you know, a huge amount of work ahead of you.
Well, the good news is, I think I'll speak for you too, Charles, but I know for me, it's funny, like, I think we're given certain veils of ignorance when we're here to communicate a message, and
uh-huh.
and pretty much how it looks to me is there's the next thing to do.
Right.
And
that's
and
it.
Each you know, each one of these, it's what an incredible, I truly, what an incredible opportunity to be in such a newly awakening field.
It's the next step of what was called the sexual revolution. It's really a sexual evolution.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, when you said static energy, wherever energy slows down and is blocked, it's painful.
Right.
And if you get the energy moving and then moving faster, that's how we define orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Energy and movement that's pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are thousands of varieties. Which way does the energy run and through which chakra? That's our choice. And for most people, they're kind of stuck in their second chakra, their sexual being. But that sexual energy can run in it's the energy of passion. We want it in our whole lives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
About our lover,
about our job. That's it for me. I mean, I like sex like everyone else, but it's like, it's way beyond this, just that sensation. I mean, I'm doing these shows here with both of you, not even so much because I'm really into it all, just because your work, both your work is so radical, it just wakes people up. What are those people doing? 50 people, 7 o'clock in the morning? I mean, that should be on the front page of the paper.
It was last week, actually, in San Francisco.
Oh, right.
I was actually on the front page of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, the New York Times. I mean, just to get people out of their old conditioning about their bodies, about the energy in their bodies. I mean,
And I think orgasm and sexual energy is really a value-neutral energy that activates all energy fields in the body. And most of us don't know how to use it in such a way that it's generative versus depleting.
There you go.
Right. Well, how would it be generative? Just give us an example, both of you.
Well, the same energy that can cause life to happen
when it moves
outward and downward in a man, if that energy is highly charged and sped up and made to be brought into the man, it revitalizes the man on every level of his being.
Right, and that's the non-ejaculatory stance.
Non-ejaculatory, but very much orgasmic.
Right, orgasmic, yes, and it's the Mata Chia way, but what's the one taste position on ejaculation?
We say if it's in the sensual realm and it's conscious, it's good.
I never, personally, I've never met one I didn't like.
Well, it's great. Nicole says, you know, we've all been born from at least one orgasm, so...
Right.
Let's tap into that.
Yeah, let's be willing to want to get good at it, and it's a learned skill, especially for women. For men, it's more a matter of we know how to have orgasmic relief. Do we want to have orgasmic ecstasy and raise orgasm to something which we lose our tension, we have a little thrill, and it's over, to something that fills our entire body and awakens us in our consciousness, in who we are.
Exactly. And I could use my awareness or attention either to expand the sensation in my body or to lock it down.
Mm.
It's simple. I have the option in any moment.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, I think for men, though, we have to uncondition all the dogma we've been fed about what sex is, you know, from images of women to, you know, relating to our own bodies. I mean, it's so thick. I'm sure for women, too, but, I mean...
Well, I think you guys have been fed a lot of empty calories.
What do you mean?
Sort of, like, I think men haven't been given nourishment in the realm of sex, and so there's this scarcity that has a certain kind of hungry reaching out, the same way you reach out for more sugar. Like you keep ingesting it because for some reason it's just not filling you up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because women haven't been given the opportunity to learn how to hold this thing that is our sex in such a way that we can take responsibility for it. Because when I take responsibility for my sex, what comes out of my body is entirely different than when I am in some way exercising an obligation.
Right. And I think that is where you're going. With your G-spot, sacred spot massage, it seems like you're giving women back something of themselves, but you're also, are they owning it for themselves, though, Charles, as opposed to victim mentality that maybe some women get into? I mean, how does that work for the women in your workshops and experience?
Well, you know, even the singles end up doing this practice. About 80% of the single women choose a man, and it works just as well for them. And it's really a matter of, is the man willing to show up and be really present for this person? Maybe be a little bit of a breath coach, and supply a kind of simple massage. There's a little technique, but it's, you know, 2 square inches of tissue, and learn to touch that tissue with great consciousness and sensitivity and love, that current of energy which we call love, and learn some simple energy techniques to make the energy move where it's stuck, where it's stuck in the psyche, where it's stuck in the conduits that carry energy, or the way you look at it, maybe the neural pathways that can
mm-hmm.
be blocked. Women can have orgasms and they don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
All the contractions and even ejaculations, and not feel it because the energy, the message doesn't get from the clitoris or vagina up to the brain and back down, hey, feel this.
I think that's absolutely true. And I think what some women have is orgasm, and they haven't been trained to call that orgasm. Does that make sense? So I think it's both. One is not feeling it, and the other one is not recognizing it.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's it.
Because we think it has to look like something else, a big explosion or something.
Right, we think it has to look like a porn movie. And, you know, and if all of a sudden our arms aren't flying around and stuff isn't spraying, then it's not orgasm. And, you know, I've encountered many women who have all of the contractions and pulses and, you know, are thrilled to know, oh, wait, that is orgasm. What's happening in my body?
Now, why isn't it bigger for them? I'm going to propose because something in the psyche or something on the wiring, the energy wiring that connects that chakra with their brain is blocked, like a garden hose with a block in it. And the energy just doesn't get all the way up there. So they say, oh, yeah, did you come? Yeah, I think so. There's no doubt in a tantra woman's mind when that current rides and goes off, it is electrical. It is pleasurable. The energy can be affected. Women can do things that help them become more alive. How they breathe, how they touch, how they're touched, how they focus their mind or not. These are skills that any woman can learn and any man can learn with their woman. Hey, let's get better at this very conscious touch. Let's not debate whether it's the clitoris or the G-spot. Let's say we're going to just love both of them
right.
as consciously as we can. And how will the receiver, the woman, receive that? Is there anything she can do that'll help open those neural pathways so that more of the energy and the pleasure runs up to the brain and back down to the vagina? Yeah!
Well, you think so, Nicole? I mean, are you ready for that in your community?
Well, we're always ready to explore. We tend to play a little bit differently in that I don't know that, you know, just for me, that I'm looking for bigger. Bigger is good, and small and delicate and fragile are good, too, in terms of my orgasm. I'm interested in knowing my orgasm and the motion that is my body at every level of nuance.
Beautiful. Are you open to a level beyond the body, which is the energy body?
Oh, of course. I mean, we play in the energy body as well. I'm very interested in all expressions. I'm interested in all expressions of consciousness and being. I think we are. I love, you know, when you talk about the conduit, the electrical conduit, I can feel it. I know what you're talking about. It's great.
Well, I mean, we're just about running. I mean, it's just getting good, though, in that kind of orgasmic kind of way.
but hey, everybody should just stop listening and go try it.
Right. They're just in that space. But I do hope that this meeting of the minds happens because I'm excited about that connection for both of you.
There's no doubt. I'd love to have you at the center.
Okay, yeah. Just got to call me and we'll set it up.
Okay.
Okay, so Charles, you're coming to New York on May 4th, 5th, and 6th, right?
I'll actually be there earlier from the beginning of the month on. We're doing a program at the Museum of Sex.
Oh, good.
And we're doing a program at the East West Bookstore. but several other places, I'm not even sure where. People can really learn this sacred spot massage. They go to our website. There's instruction there. There's all sorts of...
The website is what?
SourceTantra.com. And there's an actual training course on this sacred spot massage that have helped tens of thousands of people learn this little game they can do together of awakening and healing and expanding one's pleasure boundaries and one's emotional boundaries and one's energy boundaries to really explore how big can be.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that's great. And I'm looking forward to meeting you and taking the course and exploring those possibilities because I think it's time our culture wakes up to the raw energy that's in our bodies. I mean, it is a life force. Why have we cut ourselves off from that?
I want to thank you for doing what you do, Alan, because you're that important mechanism that takes it from us and moves it out to people. Mm-hmm. And I know your work is a work of love, so I want to thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate it. And if people want to reach Charles, there's a number in New York. If you want to register for the workshop, it's 212-777-0794 or newyork@sourcetantra.com. Now, Nicole, you'll be back in New York
May 6th.
Oh, maybe you guys overlap, so might meet here. But where are you in San Francisco?
May 12th and 13th, we'll be teaching here.
Okay, and then in San Francisco, give us some details about your location and how to get in touch with you.
So we're located on 7th and Folsom in South of Market in San Francisco. We can be reached at onetastesf.com. And we teach courses every weekend. We teach One Taste courses both Saturday and Sunday, but we also have guest courses come in. And we have several different buildings in our other buildings. So there's always at least two different courses to explore your orgasm, sensuality, and sexuality.
Right, and people can come in if they do the basic courses and can be part of the OMing after they've had basic orientations, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you both for being guests. I'll connect you after the show. And,
thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure
very
meeting
very juicy conversation.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, Nicole.
Lots of love to you both. And
bye-bye.
This is New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. If you want to reach me, just email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or call me even at 212-473-6388. Thank you for tuning in.